These were the women who had followed him around from Galilee, profoundly committed women. And so they were certain that Easter Sunday morning, but the question the angels asked them unveiled this obvious truth that they didn't yet really understand who Jesus is, because they were looking for a living one among the dead.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, a great weekend to remember how Christ has risen from the dead. He is risen indeed. We'll get an eyewitness account from the ladies who were the first ones to find the empty tomb, and this message from Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. But first, we'll talk about the 3 days that changed the world as we're joined by evangelist Roger Carswell. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. This weekend is Easter, and it is one of the most important seasons of the Christian church because it is an opportunity for us to communicate to the world at large that we don't just have Christmas, where a Savior who was born, and we're not just talking about a Savior who died on the cross. As important as those doctrines are, we worship a risen Savior. There's a reason we gather every Sunday as believers, because that is the day that Christ rose from the dead. We are proclaiming his resurrection until he comes again. And our guest this weekend is Roger Carswell. He's a friend of the ministry here at Songtime, and he's written a new book called 3 Days That Changed the World. And while your friends and neighbors and the people around you in the community might understand that this is an important Christian holiday, they likely don't know the true meaning of this holiday. Sure, they might know the historic events, but do they know why Jesus died for our sins, why he was buried, and why he rose from the dead? That is the point of this excellent book, 3 Days That Changed the World. Roger, this is an issue where many people probably don't understand what Easter is about, but it's why it's so important for us as believers to explain that, to articulate the gospel to them.
Well, absolutely. Very, very much so. 3 Days That Changed the World, it focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ dying as a substitute, as a sacrifice, bearing in his own body our sin. And I always feel that in evangelistic preaching and just witnessing, chatting to people, and I love to do that, I would just get into conversation and steer it towards the things of the Lord in a way that's not over the top, but in winsome and endearing. But I want to explain that God laid on Jesus the sin of the world, the hidden work of Christ, that he carried our sin, that he was buried, he tasted death for everyone, the Bible says, and that 3 days, wonderfully, he rose from the dead. I don't know what wording you have in your wedding service, but you know, when people say, is it more important that Jesus died or that he rose from the dead? My answer is, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They're part and parcel of the same thing. He died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. We proclaim a risen, crucified Savior. And it's a wonderful thing.
You know, it's actually really important when Paul is defining what the gospel is in his letter to the church in Corinth. He wants to make it very clear that he makes all three of those points, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Those three components are the essential nature of the gospel, but sometimes we go heavy on one and not on the other. So what is the proper balance of those three, and how do we actually approach that in our presentation?
Well, I know in Songtime at the moment you're studying the book of Luke. I love Luke's gospel. I think it's the easiest for an evangelist to work from, if I'm going to be honest. But at the end of Luke, chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, Luke gives us the Great Commission as given by the Lord Jesus, but spells out exactly what it is we're to be proclaiming. So in Matthew, you know, it's going to all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things. In Mark, it's go to every creature. It's in John, it's I'm with you, I'm my peace, I leave with you. But Luke spells out the very message. He says, go to Jerusalem. I like to say that's your neighbors. Go to Jerusalem and all nations. And there are four things he says we should make known. First, his sufferings, then his resurrection, then repentance, and then forgiveness of sins. Those four things, I believe, are the basic ingredients of the gospel. We can talk about all sorts of other issues, but actually it's these four issues that are crucial and very significant. Of course, Luke gave us the book of Acts as well. And as you look at those sort of sermon notes that you get pre-seed sermons all the way through the book of Acts, you get those four themes coming through. He died bearing our sin. He rose from the dead. We're commanded to repent and then receive remission, forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, I think that's so important. That's something we talk about all of the time. We actually need to articulate the gospel. We can't just guess that people are going to pick it up by osmosis in some way. And I'm sure that you're familiar with the phrase, you know, in everything you do, preach the gospel, sometimes speak. But as an evangelist, it probably rubs you, as it rubs me sometimes the wrong
really
way.
It really irritates me.
Because we have to articulate the gospel. That's so important, isn't it?
Well, the man who led me to Christ lived it, but that's not what led to my conversion. He sat down and he explained the gospel with me. No, we need words. It's a nonsense. Whether Francis of Assisi did say it or not, I don't know. If he did, I'm going to throttle him one day in glory. But anyway.
Yeah, well, it's such a key component that the words have the power to transform people's lives. And what we have lost in our culture by just living in our isolation, it's like salt in the salt shaker. Unless it's getting actually touching the people, we're not actually communicating and articulating the gospel. We can't expect them to understand it.
And to do it winsomely, the people to whom we're speaking and witnessing and proclaiming, they're not our enemies. They are as we once were, and we want them to be as we are now. We want to love them in. That's a quotation of a biography of D.L. Moody. I love your D.L. Moody, you know. In fact, you've got a D.L. Moody beard, haven't you? But I love D.L. Moody and that biography, love them in. We need to love people, and if we love them, we'll pray for them. And if we love and pray for them, we will want to witness and win them.
The book is called 3 Days That Changed the World. It is a great resource and opportunity for you to share your faith with those around you. If you want to find out more information about the book and Roger Carswell, please give us a call. It's 508-362-7070 or head over to our website at songtime.com. This is a perfect time to start thinking about who you're going to share your faith with. Who in your life desperately needs to hear the gospel and needs to hear it from you because you have a relationship with them. This book is a great resource not only for you as a believer, but also for them as an opportunity to say, let's sit down and read this book together and meet up next week after you've had a chance to read it and let's discuss it and talk about the true meaning of our faith. Many of our friends and family are just waiting for someone to enter their life and be willing and bold enough to declare this remarkable truth. They may not understand the significance of Easter. We have an opportunity to share it with them. If you would like to find out more information about this book and Roger Carswell, please give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, today we're continuing with this Resurrection Weekend, talking about the first eyewitnesses, those who saw the resurrection of our Savior. In the Gospel of Luke, we turn to chapter 24 with a powerful message from Dr. Sinclair Ferguson.
Luke is telling us the story of Easter Sunday, first of all in the early morning, and then in the second part on the journey to Emmaus, and then as those two rush back the miles to Jerusalem and find that the disciples are gathered together and they've heard the news of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appears. There is a development in these stories. In the first 12 verses, Jesus is risen, but he doesn't seem to be present. In the second story, Jesus is present, but he doesn't seem to be recognized. And then in the third part of the chapter, Jesus is marvelously both present and recognized. It's a rather brilliant telling of an historical narrative that also meshes rather strikingly with the personal narrative of many of our lives. Jesus risen but unrecognized by us. Jesus present with us, but we're still not sure what it is that's happening. And then ultimately, Jesus both present and recognized by us. And so the narrative begins with the disciples and the women in particular in verses 1 through 5 in a state of considerable confusion. Just as light was breaking through and the Sabbath day was coming to an end, they make their way, and as they come to the tomb, to their astonishment, they discover that the body of the Lord Jesus is not to be found. And then in verse 4, we're told they were perplexed. And with that personal perplexity, the gospel often begins. And you see this as these two angels put their finger on the matter. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Now here's the fascinating thing. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, these women were sure they knew Jesus. These were the women who had followed him around from Galilee, profoundly committed women. And so they were certain that Easter Sunday morning that they knew and understood Jesus. But the question the angels asked them unveiled this obvious truth that they didn't yet really understand who Jesus is, because they were looking for a living one among the dead. I don't mean that they didn't believe the right things about Jesus. Probably most of them knew their Bibles better than most of us know our Bibles, because they had so often listened to Jesus' teaching. But the fact of the matter was that they didn't really understand who Jesus is. Although they were absolutely sure that they did. And you see what these angels are coming ever so gently to say to these women is that in order to understand who Jesus is, one of the things you ladies most need is to be confused and perplexed in your mind with an awareness that you have never really grasped who the Lord Jesus is. I long frequently that as I preach, people will be confused, because until they are confused about who Jesus really is, they will never let go of the figment of their imagination whom they think is the real Jesus. And you see, in order for these women to discover who Jesus really is, they are brought through this momentary period when they are perplexed and confused, because until they let go of the Jesus of their own imagination, they're never going to find the Jesus of the glorious resurrection. And so this is a moment of huge significance to what these women then experience when they're brought from confusion to a wonderful experience of illumination. What these angels say is, did you not listen to what the Lord Jesus had to tell you? You see what these angels are teaching them to do? They're teaching them to think about everything that happens through the lenses of God's infallible word. Because Jesus has taught them what's going to happen. And fascinatingly, over this whole chapter, it's repeated again and again. In verse 7, he told you that he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And again in verse 26, Jesus himself, don't you see from the scriptures that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And then the third time the story is told all over again is in verse 45. And it was a moment of illumination. They understood, at least a little, they understood that he had finished his work. And you see, here was the change. And so Luke tells us how you come from your own personal Jesus, who's a total figment of your imagination, to the real Jesus, who has risen, not to become a religious convenience in my life, but to become the Lord and Savior of it all. Thank God, it's gloriously true. He is risen from the dead, and he is offered to us in the gospel, the real, the personal, the saving, the life-transforming Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Heavenly Father, we pray as we exalt and triumph in the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe with all our hearts that he is risen from the dead and comes to bring us the forgiveness of sins. Grant us, we pray, eyes to see, hearts to long, faith to trust, wills to yield, that we indeed may be his. And this we pray for his great name's sake. Amen.
This weekend is when we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, remembering that Christ has risen from the dead. He is risen indeed. In fact, if you're familiar with that phrase, it's sort of someone comes up to you at church and they say, Christ has risen, and your response to them is to be, he is risen indeed. It comes from Luke chapter 24, and I'd encourage you to take up this tradition. Maybe it's not part of your regular tradition in going to church on Easter Sunday, but this is a great one. I absolutely love this tradition because in verse 6 of Luke 24, we see that the angel tells the ladies that were there at the tomb, Christ is not here, he has risen. And then later on, in that same day, when the two were walking with Jesus and he revealed himself to them, they run back to the disciples and tell them, Christ has risen indeed. These two connect to tell us the story of the gospel, the revelation that Christ has risen. That is the gospel presented to us, but then he is risen indeed is our response to that message. And that is the working of the gospel and proclaiming the gospel to each other. What do we say here on the broadcast all the time? There are three people in your life that need to hear the gospel. The first one is you. You need to hear the gospel. That's why we are so committed to proclaiming it on a daily basis here on our broadcast as well. Each weekend that you tune in, we want you to hear the good news of the gospel, that Christ has died, was buried, and rose again. The second person in your life that needs to hear this gospel message is all of the other Christians that you know and interact with. As you gather with other believers for Easter, be sure to do this whole phrase, do this whole tradition, Christ has risen. And if they don't know, you can tell them. You say in response, he is risen indeed. It's right here in Luke 24, verses 6 and 34. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And then there are other people in your life who have never heard the gospel or have heard it, but they've rejected it. These people desperately need to hear the proclamation, the articulation of the gospel. Tell them that you have been redeemed, that the risen Savior has changed your life. That is your testimony, and you are witnesses of what Christ has done. I hope that this encourages you, and if it has, I hope that you will be an encouragement to us, because this is why we are doing what we're doing. This is why we are proclaiming the gospel on a regular basis, because we believe that the gospel has the power to change lives. And if we have been able to encourage you, I hope that you'll be an encouragement to us in return. Let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Or you can head over to our website at songtime.com and, of course, look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse here in Luke 24, starting in verse 46. These are the words of the Lord. He said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."